Danger of delays out of chapter number 32. And then last week we preached out of Exodus 14:14, the Lord shall fight for you, you shall hold your peace. So we preached on that very verse, the Lord shall fight for you. But I want to look at verse number 1 of Exodus 15 this morning and give you a few thoughts that the Lord's given me. And I'd like to preach on this thought this morning. There's still some reasons to keep on singing. There's still some reasons to keep on singing. And we understand this is the first time we find the word sing or sang or song in its form in your King James Bible. And I want to look at a few thoughts here and try to be a help and a blessing to you this morning. Exodus chapter 15, verse number 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible said, then, in all capital letters, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Notice what they said. Not only does it say, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song, but it goes on to say, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. If I could, for a few moments, I would like to show us a few things and preach on that thought. If the Lord help us, there's still some reasons to keep on singing. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the privilege that it is to stand one more time and open the Word of God. Now, Lord, it's preaching time, and I need your help this morning. We thank you, God, for your presence that's been seen, heard, and felt through the testimonies and the youth choir singing and the congregationals. But Lord, now it's time, God, for you to speak intimately to our hearts. And God, I don't know the needs of those who are here this morning, but Lord, you do. God, I don't know who's struggling this morning. I don't know who may have lost their song, but God, I do know that, Lord, this is what you put in my heart. And so, God, I'm asking you, Lord, for help and for power and for unction to preach, Lord. I cannot function without your unction. So help me now for a little while, and we'll thank you and praise you, for it's in Christ's name we do ask and pray. And all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated briefly if I could. For those of you who may not be up to par on where we are, in Exodus chapter number 13, the Bible lets us know that Moses has led the children of Israel out of 430 years of bondage. In chapter number 14, we find that they are set up between Migdol and the Red Sea with nowhere to go. The wilderness to the right and the left, the world behind them, and the waves and the water in front of them. But how many all know that God is good at being God? And he opens up the Red Sea and they walk through on dry land. We understand the whole scenario is a type and a picture of what God has done for you and I, as used to be sinners and now saints. If you have been saved by the grace of God, he has led you out of bondage, thank the Lord, and he has led us to, and he's leading us through the wilderness to lead us to the promised land. In chapter number 14, God makes this miraculous thing come to pass where they walk through the Red Sea on dry land. And then we find verse number 1 of chapter 15, then, in all capital letters, then sang Moses and the children of Israel. You better hear me this morning, my friend. There ought to be a song in your heart. It makes no difference if you can carry a tune in a bucket. At the day that the Lord Jesus came by and rescued the perishing and cared for it, there's something in you. There ought to be a new song in your heart. Can I say, my friend, may we not get to be like the children of Israel? You say, what do you mean? Well, can I say their song changed when their situation changed? Their song changed when their situation changed, without a doubt. My friend, trying times are coming, and without a doubt, troubled times are either here or they're gone or they're on the way. And without a doubt, times of testing sitting and toiling, they are coming. But may I say, may we not soon forget all the triumphant times. You say, preacher, I'm in a testing time. Well, I can. If you're saved, you can go back to some triumphant times. There's times of testing and times of troubled and times of trying. But my friend, thank God for some triumphant times in our life. You may be living in a season of life where God has just brought you through the Red Sea. You may not be there. Some of y'all, it's still pretty new. I haven't yet been saved, but maybe a year or two or three at most. Some of you, and it's still new at this point. But can I say, listen, if you're not careful, you can get over your Red Sea experience. I mean, you ever met somebody saved and mad about it? I'm not a bit mad that God came by and rescued my never dying soul and pulled me out of hell. Hey, friend, that's where we ought to have everyone wound up. That was in the bottomless pit of the dam, but glory be to God, He made a way for you and I had to cross over to the other side. And I don't have to die in my sin. I've been delivered from my sin this morning. There ought to be a song in our heart. And I say, just because present situations change does not mean that past situations shouldn't be celebrated.
Right.
You may not be in a season of life where you won't just throw your hands up and thank the Lord, which you should according to the Bible, but you may not feel that this morning. But can I say, but past situations can still be celebrated even when present situations change. I've said it time again. I just said it, I believe, Wednesday night. I believe that that's exactly what David did. After every storm, he would hold on to that, what God done for him. He overcame the lion and the bear and Goliath. And I think he had to look back and see that God's brought me through that, so He'll bring me through this. And if God brought me through that and that, then He'll bring me through this. And you'll end up somewhere way down the road you never thought you'd reach. And what you can realize when you look back over your life is it was not you, but it was God, my friend, that worked. And of God that carried you through. And you, listen, you ought to have something to sing about this morning. There's still some reasons to keep on singing. I want to be as brief as I can this morning, but I want to give you what God's given me. And I want us to say, number one, this morning, the reason you ought to keep singing, number one, is because God has made a way.
That's right.
Yeah. Listen to me. You ought to sing this morning because God has made a way.
Right.
I got about four of you that believe that. God has made a way. You say, well, I don't feel like God's made a way. I mean, I feel like I'm stuck. Hey, look back, friend. God has made a way. Chapter number 14, I want to remind you this morning that in chapter 14, there was no way, number one, for the children of Israel to escape death. If you write notes, number one, that God made a way. But if you look back in chapter 14, there was no way for the children of Israel to escape death. Listen to me. They were runaway slaves, not ready soldiers. I need y'all to hang tight just for a few minutes and go back down memory lane. I said they were runaway slaves. They were not ready soldiers. They could not escape death if they had to. I mean, God led them all the way around the land of the Philistines in chapter 13. Took them by the way of the Red Sea because they couldn't handle being a witness to the battle, let alone a part of it. But here they are now, Pharaoh and Egypt, the devil and the world, if you will, is on their heels. And my friend, they could not fight that battle and win. They were slaves, not soldiers. But God made a way. And I say Pharaoh and all of Egypt's after them. Not only are they going to battle them, they plan on taking them back. And here they are, they're stranded. Think about it. These children of Israel, at this point, they have no strength. They have no sword. They have no supplies. In other words, they're helpless. And I need you to follow me this morning. The more they would have tried to live, the more they would have begun to die. Is anybody going with me where I'm trying to go this morning? Does anybody remember a time the more you tried to live, the more you began to die? Does anybody remember a time when you were in a battle you could not win? You could not even be a soldier because you were a slave. The Bible let us know in John chapter 8 verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." I mean, you and I used to be bound up in Egypt. We were slaves.
slaves to our sin. We were soldiers, or we were not soldiers. We could not go to battle and win. We could not escape death. But glory to God, just like the children of Israel, me and you, as we were hopeless and helpless, we were nothing but slaves with no strength, with no sword, with no supply. And the more we tried to live, the more we began to die. We were up against an enemy we could not overthrow. We were fighting a battle we were sure to lose. But glory to God, God made a way to escape death so many years ago. God has provided for you and I. That's a reason to keep singing. You ask me why I'm happy, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. What is the wage of sin? The same thing they were facing. They would have surely died. Can I say they were slaves? They were not soldiers. I like that old song, "What Sins Are You Talking About? I Don't Remember Them Anymore." From the book, by the blood, they've all been washed out. And I don't remember them anymore. We were all a bunch of losers until God one day granted us life. I'm telling you, death was our reward. Death had a good grip on me, both physically and spiritually. I don't know your day, but on January the 9th, 2000, God made a way. I escaped death once and for all. My friend, I will not die a slave to my sin. I'm dying a son of God. I'm dying a saint of God. I'm dying in the body of Christ. Not because I can cross over. Not because I can defeat the enemy. Not because I have victory over my sin. But because 2,000 years ago, God made a way for mankind to enter in to heaven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I sing because God's made a way. Why were they singing? Because God made a way. God made a way to escape death. But then, number two, not only do we see that in chapter number 14, there was no way for the children of Israel to escape death, but think about this. There was no way for the children of Israel to enter into the deep. I hope y'all are getting it. They couldn't escape death. Because they were slaves, not soldiers. But now we find also in chapter 14 that not only could they not escape death and God made a way, but they could not enter into the deep. But we know the story. God made a way. Listen, just because, just like they were slaves and not soldiers, my friend, can I say they could not swim their way to the other side? They would have sank. In other words, their works would have left them in want. Does everybody see that? They could have tried to get to the other side. They could have labored trying to get to the other side. They could have worked real hard to try to make it to the other side, to enter in to the deep, but they would not have made it. It took God making a way. They could not escape death. They would have died because they were slaves, not soldiers. They, my friend, were bastards and not sons, but God made a way. But then they could not enter into the deep. They could not go from one side and cross over to the other side. My friend, they would have sank in their attempt to swim. Their works would have never worked. Can I get a witness? But my friend, God once again made a way. What'd He do? He opened up the Red Sea. God had to part something. God had to open something up for them to make it to the other side. Does it sound familiar to anybody this morning? Can I say, my friend, not only do we find that God opens up the Red Sea and grants them access to the other side, but can I take you to a hill called Calvary where He opened up His Son and He granted us access to the other side? Oh, glory be to God. He's made a way when there seemed to be no way. My friend, they needed one thing. You and I needed one thing to make it to the other side. And it was never going to be our works. But God opened up His Son so you and I can make it to the other side. Why do we keep singing? Well, because Without him, the old songwriter said, without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I'm just like an old ship that could not sail. There was a way made not only to escape death, but to enter into the deep. I'll say this, this access that God has opened up to us through His Son, it's not only a promised access. I need you to understand this. Is everybody seeing what I'm trying to paint this morning? They needed to go to the other side, but they could not get there on their own. God had to do something. You and I need to get to the other side, but we can't get there on our own. God had to do something. But this is not only a promised access in light of heaven. Did you know it's a present access? Not only concerning our future place, but what about our current position? Our current pardon, our current communication in prayer. Listen to me. Right now, according to the Word of God, we are seated together in heavenly places through salvation, supplication, and the Savior. I'm telling you this morning, just like God opened up the Red Sea for the children of Israel and granted them access to the other side, God's done the same thing for us at Calvary when He opened up His darling Son and the blood and the water poured out of His side. God made a way for you and I to enter in on the other side. That's why I sing this morning. When His body was opened up, you know what we find? The rent, the veil was rent, or the temple was rent, and the veil was torn. He granted us access not just in the future, but in the present. Did everybody know what that temple was for and that veil? Only the priest, the holiest of holies, the priest. I mean, they had to walk the line, could enter into the Holy of Holies. Only certain men were allowed in it. And listen to me, they'd tie ropes and bells. Or they'd put bells and pomegranates on their clothes so they could listen to see if they're still living back there. It was so holy. They'd pull them out by the rope tied around their ankle. Because a lot of them, I believe, went back there and dropped dead in the glory of God. But when Jesus was opened up, 2,000 years ago, you know what happened? That veil was torn. He granted us, He opened up the Red Sea. Is anybody listening? He opened up the sea and allowed you and I access. Listen, I'm not waiting to die to have access to the throne. I've got it right now because He was opened up on my behalf. Why do you sing, preacher? Because He's made a way for me to escape death as an old slave. But He's made a way for me to enter into the deep places and the heavenly places and the holy places through and by His darling Son. That's why I sing this morning. You realize if we'd have tried to work our way in, we would have sank in our attempt to swim. But God made a way. Here's a few verses about access. I like this word, access. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access. By faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:18 said, for through Him, through who? The Son that was opened up. Through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access, my friend, with confidence by faith in Him. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, I believe I'll keep singing because God has made a way. This is all a type and a picture of what the Lord done for you and me. He made a way to escape death. He made a way to enter into the deep. But what about this? In Exodus chapter 14, not only was there no way for the children of Israel to escape death or enter into the deep, but can I say there was also no way for the children of Israel to experience being delivered. There was not, listen, there's no way they're going into the deep. There's no way they're escaping death. And there's no way of being delivered. But God made a way. That's why in chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible said in all caps, then. You don't know why you sing? Because we've escaped death. And God's made a way to enter the deep. And we do know what it's like to experience being delivered. That's why we sing this morning. Listen to me. They weren't soldiers. They were slaves. They had no ability. They could not swim. They would have sank. They had no access. But now we see they would not have survived because they were stuck. They had no avenue. God had to make a way. They're trapped with nowhere to turn. Water, we know it. I've said it a million times. If you don't know it by now, you ain't never getting it. The water's in front of them. The wilderness to the left and right. The world's behind them. Up, my friend, they go to the north, they're drowning. They go to the east or west, they're starving. And if they turn around and go back to the dungeon, they're going back to slavery. Up, my friend, they needed one thing. It's the same thing we all needed. They needed to be delivered. They needed a way, a door to be opened. They needed access. They needed something. For God to do something. To allow them to be delivered from the hand of Pharaoh and from the Egyptians. Can I say this? Those who are stuck in this world, they won't survive.
Amen.
The devil paints a good picture in the minds of people. But listen to me. Outside of the Lord, there's no way out. I don't care how many programs you go through, there's no way out. I don't care how many commitments you make, there's no way out. I don't care how many prayers you pray, how many services you attend. Outside of Jesus Christ, which is the way, there is no way. He'll make a way when there seems to be no way. I want to revisit this, if I could. Some of you have already heard it Wednesday night, but I want to look at it one more time. Go back to chapter 14. Look at verse 15. Talk about this avenue, this door, this way. The Lord says in chapter, the Bible says in chapter 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, verse 15, chapter 14, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians that they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have got me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp, removed, went behind them, pillar of the cloud went from before their face, stood behind them, so on and so forth. We know what happens. God makes a way. He delivers them. But don't forget that it's here we find this way is during a vast amount of different kind of situations or times. Number one, God delivered them, made a way in divisive times. Verse 16, He divided the waters. God delivered them, made a way during dry times. The Bible said they went through on dry ground. That's dry time. Verse 17 said that the Pharaoh and the Egyptians would follow after them. God delivered them and made a way during dangerous times. Because we understand that the divisive, the dry, and the dangerous times were all designed times. And what was God's design for the dangerous times, for the divisive times, for the dry times? One thing, there's supposed to be times of deliverance for God to deliver them in spite of the situation. You know what a lot of people's believing today? That God's done. Because it's divisive times. God's done because it's dry times. Well, preacher, you know, you could have preached the same message 100 years ago and there would have been 15 saved. Probably so. But it don't mean that God's still not able. It's divisive times. I know that. It's dry times. I know that. And it's sure enough dangerous times, but it is also design times. Did you know, God, this thing has to wind down?
Amen.
You know what the end result of these dry, dangerous, divisive times are going to be? They're design times for a God to deliver His church up out of here.
Amen.
So, you say it's getting worse. That means it's getting better for you. If you're saved, the worse it gets here, the closer we are to there. And the closer we are to there, the better things are getting all of the time. I'm trying to tell you, y'all keep singing because God has made a way. God has made a way. Well, I got verses for all this about being delivered. Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from that heart. From the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. See, God had to deliver you the gospel, and by the gospel we are delivered. Colossians says this, Colossians 1, 12, 13, 14, giving thanks to the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Notice this, verse 13, Colossians 1, 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood. Even the forgiveness of sin. So what did God do? He opened up his Son. Here he opens up the sea. And for us, God opens up his Son. And because his Son is opened up, God made a way for you and I to escape death, for you and I to enter into the deep, and for you and I to experience what it is to be delivered. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel. If you ain't singing, it's probably because you don't know nothing about what I'm talking about. We ought to have a song. Number two, I'm hurrying along. The reason you ought to keep singing not only is because God has made a way, but number two, I want to say you ought to keep singing because God is a man of war. God's made a way, but God's a man of war. What do you mean by that? Look at verse 3, chapter 15. Or verse 2, excuse me. Verse 15, verse 1, then sang Moses, children of Israel. Verse 2, this is their song. It says, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation. My Father is God, and I will exalt him. Look here. The Lord is a man of what?
War.
The Lord is his name. Why is that significant to us this morning? Well, you better be glad he's a man of war. Because if we go back to Exodus 14:14, if he wasn't, we're in trouble.
Amen.
The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. I don't need nobody but a warrior fighting for me. The Lord is a man of war. Not only is God made a way, but God is a man of war. Can I say y'all to keep singing this morning? He's made a way. But how many of y'all know it's after God made a way that the battle really began? You wasn't fighting the devil when you was on his team.
Amen.
How many of y'all, when God opened up his Son and you realized, hey, God's made a way for me to escape death. God's made a way for me to enter into the deep. God's made a way for me to experience what it is to be truly delivered. Not this charismatic stuff, but delivered through and by the blood of Christ. And how many of y'all know it was after you found out that God made a way that you had to fight your first battle? You know what we find in just two chapters from now? Amalek.
Yep.
Type picture of what?
Flesh.
The flesh.
Yeah.
Little t. Egypt type of world.
Amen.
Amalek type of flesh. You know what's the first battle you're going to have to really learn how to fight?
Flesh.
Oh, flesh.
Yeah.
You know, we give the credit to the devil for about everything that goes wrong.
Come on.
Every time somebody messes up, well, preacher, I'm sorry, old devil's on my back. You ain't near as important to him as you think you are.
That's right.
You know who's on your back more than the devil? You. And there ain't no way you're winning that battle outside of the Lord.
Amen.
And if he's going to help you fight and he's going to fight for you, you better be glad. You better sing because he is a man of war. Can I say this? Too many times people get born again, and then when the battle rages, because that's when the battle comes, right? After you go through and you find out God's made a way, then you're going to have to learn God's a man of war, because it's after being born again that the battle starts. You know what most people do? Thank God a preacher to tell them and try to get them rooted and sound and doctrine and try to get some stability to them. You know what they do when the first battle comes? They bail. They bail out. Preacher, I thought getting saved, I thought that meant everything was going to be fixed. No. No, it ain't going to get fixed till we go home.
Right.
You can't expect your spiritual life to go good in a carnal world.
Right. Amen.
I mean, listen to me. We are the minority. We are the remnant.
Right.
I just don't like the way you're saying that. I think we're not in the minority. Read your Bible. We are the minority. Few will be found in that narrow way. Many will be found in that broad way. We are the select remnant left. We're outnumbered. Can I say, even if we were our only enemy, we still need the Lord. But not only are we up against us in the flesh, we are up against the world, and we are up against the forces and the powers of darkness. You know what you need? You need the Lord to be what He said He is, a man of war.
Right.
Why should you keep singing? Because God's made a way. Because, number two, God is a man of war. It's another reason to keep singing. I want you to see this. Look with me. God is a man of war. Because God is a man of war, I want you to see, number one, because God is a man of war, I want you to see, number one, that the Lord has the strength to cast down the enemy. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. This Bible outlines itself. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he, talking about the Lord, what? Cast into the sea. Because the Lord is a man of war, I want you to see, number one, the Lord has strength to cast down the enemy.
Right.
Maybe that don't make you excited, but it helps me.
Yeah.
How many times have I told y'all, you can't tell the devil what to do?
Amen.
I mean, he'll slap you silly.
Amen.
Did you know? I mean, all these boys that's naming and claiming and commanding the devil and the Holy Ghost and all that. Listen to me. They are being controlled by the devil and don't even know it.
Amen.
You can't do nothing with him, but thank the Lord. Our God is a man of
war.
And because He's a man of war, He can cast down the enemy. What do you mean? Well, the Bible said this in Psalm 61:3, "Thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." My friend, as God lifts us up, He's casting down the enemy. 2 Peter 2:4 said, "For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." Revelation 12:10 says this. I need somebody to act saved. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which is accused them up before our God day and night." Hey, because He's a man of war, He'll cast the enemy down. We are victors, more than conquerors. How can you be more than conquerors? Through the Lord, because He's a man of war. And what you can't do with the enemy, He can do. Does everybody see this? I know it's just real practical, but it's what the Lord gave me. I want to sing this morning because God's made a way. I mean, He brought me through that. He brought me out of Egypt. He made a way for me to escape death. He made a way for me to enter into the deep. He's made a way for me to experience real deliverance, not phony deliverance, real deliverance, which is biblical salvation. And then I found out after God made a way, it was singing time, but then the battle came, and guess what? He was God in the sea and in the times of slavery, but He's God when it comes time to war too. God is a man of war. He's got the strength to cast down the enemy. Number two, the Lord is a man of war. Not only is because He's a man of war, does He have the strength to cast down the enemy, but number two, because God is a man of war, He has the strength to cover the enemy. Look at verse 5. The Bible said the depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom. I wish somebody would get about 3 sheets in the wind with me right here and just go down memory lane and then go down the future, what we know is going to happen.
Right.
Ain't nobody on this world can cast down the devil.
Right.
And they sure ain't nobody can cover him.
Right.
But did you know, just like an old stone, one of these days he's going to sink in the lake of fire, which is the second death, and it'll burn forever and ever, and the smoke of his and their torment will ascend up forevermore. Now, if that don't do something in your heart, my God, I don't know how to help you. Is there anybody besides Josh Griffith sick of the devil? I done told you we give him too much credit, but we also got to realize it's a real thing. He is the enemy. He is the accuser. He is fighting against us. I don't think he's doing as much as we like to say, but he is against us. And me and you can't do a blame thing with the devil. But our Lord is a man of... Why do you sing? Because he's made a way. He's made a way. But he's also a man of war. And he has the ability to cast down the enemy. And he has the ability, because he's a man of war, to cover the enemy. Psalm 107:2 said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so."
Yep.
Why do we say so? Right here. "Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy."
Yeah.
You don't know why I'm no longer in the grips of the devil? Because the Lord is a man of war.
Yeah.
Do you know he was fighting a war just to go to Calvary? Not the whole time he was on planet Earth, he was fighting a war for you.
Right.
At any given moment, the Bible said he could have called 10,000 angels and they'd have come and got him. Can I say this? He didn't even have to call angels. He's God.
Amen.
He could have thought himself right back to the throne.
Amen.
But he continued on. He battled for you and I. He's a man of war. Because he's a man of war, not only does the Lord have strength to cast down the enemy and cover the enemy, but thirdly, because the Lord's a man of war, he has the strength to cut the enemy. Look at verse 6. "Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath what? Dashed in pieces who?" My mind went back to this. You've been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Did you know it was after Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, his flesh was the weakest it had ever been.
Right.
Who shows up?
Them.
How did he fight him? How did he cut him? I don't know if anybody here this morning, I don't know, I had this planned a lot better in my mind than it's going, but that's all the Lord's business. I'm giving what he's giving me. I can imagine what it must have been like as Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and here comes the devil. And the Word of God is what he used to cut him. This Word of God is sharp. It's quick, sharp, powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Every time the devil came up and said something, what did the Lord say? "As it is
written."
Did you know, we all sing this morning, because not only has God cut the enemy, God's given us the same weapon. To dash him in pieces. Now, I can't dash him. We can't stab him and cut him on our own. But it's given us something. Isn't that amazing? You ever study the armor of God?
Right.
He only gives one weapon. Helmet of salvation, protect the head. Breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with preparation of the gospel, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith. I mean, so on and so forth. He gives nothing for the back.
Yep.
Why? Because if you turn around in battle, it's just on you. Fair game. But then he gives us the sword. Why don't we give us one weapon? That's all we need.
Right.
How are we going to cut? How did God pass the enemy? Come on
now.
And he's left us his written word, which is also a spoken word. It's also his inspired word.
Amen.
I'm wearing down for whatever reason, but I need y'all to help me.
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
This is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
This ain't a copy. This ain't another version.
Right.
There's one God. There's one Bible.
Amen.
We don't apologize for that. I'm not going to be somebody's, Brother Dax was preaching one time about people that was in error. God really thought like hell. Listen, he said, "I'm not going to be mean to them." There was some knothead in the church. Stood up and said, "Be mean to them, bless God. We're not going to be mean to them."
Amen.
But I'm not going to console
them.
I'm be kind to them. Look here. We're right.
Amen.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's King James Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God. B-I-B-L-E. I haven't had time to go into why we believe King James Bible, but I thought it for years. You ought to know.
This is the Word of God. What's it do? It divides. It pierces. It dices. It conquers. It gives life. It gives victory. It gives you power over the enemy. It's the Word of God. Why do we sing? What? Listen here. What do we sing?
Right.
You know where all of our songs come from? You know what they're based on? I mean, hello. If they're not biblically right, we ain't singing them. If they don't line up with doctrine, we're not going to sing something that's in error. We sing this morning because he's a man of war. He has the strength to cut the enemy, as it is written. He's got the strength, verse 7, to consume the enemy. I'm hurrying along. Verse 7, in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which what? Consumed them as stubble. He has strength to consume the enemy. Psalms 18:17 said, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Y'all need to memorize that verse. Psalms 18:17, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. You need to realize it's him that delivered you. Why are we singing? Because he made a way. I sing because he made a way to escape death. He made a way to enter into the deep. He made a way to be for me to experience what it really is to be delivered. But I sing because he's a man of war. He's a man of war. Because he's a man of war, he's got the strength to cast down the enemy, to cover the enemy, to cut the enemy and to consume the enemy. But lastly, this morning, I'm going to see the reason you ought to keep singing is because number three, God's mighty wonders. Not only has he made a way, not only is he a man of war, but God has mighty wonders. Look at verse 8. With the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. Man, ain't that a miracle? The flood stood upright as an heap. That means the sea. They stood up. The depths were, notice this word, congealed in the heart of the sea. That word congealed. You ever looked that up? It means to be converted into ice. It means to be a solid mass. It means by the loss of heat or other process to be concreted. In other words, they were made solid. Congealed. Verse number 8. Verse 9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Everything that we just read is what the devil says about you and me. Verse 10, but thou didst blow with thy wind. Titan picture of what? The devil had a grip on you till one day the sweet Spirit of God came by. I mean, I wish I could preach it like a black preacher could this morning. I feel it, but I just can't. Ain't you glad that the Spirit of God came by? To blow thy wind, the sea covered them, verse 10. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Verse 13 or 12. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Verse 13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy way, in thy strength, unto thy holy habitation. God's mighty wonders. If you ever need a reason to sing, it's because God's made a way, God's a man of war, and God's mighty wonders. What is his mighty wonders? Number one, God's mighty wonder of power. I want to go back to that word congealed. That's a powerful thing, man.
Right.
God's mighty wonder of power. He congealed the sea. I mean, he not only opened it up, but he completely changed the mass and the state of the sea. He congealed the deep. That's powerful.
Amen.
You know what God done when he saved your soul? He done the impossible.
Amen.
There ain't nothing or nobody else could have done that. It's the power of God. Second of all, God's mighty wonder, not only of power, God's mighty wonder of protection. Verse 9 and 10. The enemy said, I will pursue. You know what the devil says? He's walking to and fro seeking whom he may devour. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake. That's what the devil said.
Man.
I will divide. How many of y'all know he's still saying that one? My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. That looks just like the devil to me. But verse 10 said, but thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. You know what's more powerful than the will of the devil? The will, the work, the wind, and the wonder of God. Did you know without the Lord, every one of y'all would have been divided, would have been destroyed, would have been taken down, would have been damned. You would have died a sinful death. But the Lord's a man of war, and He's also a man, a God of mighty wonders, and He's made a way. Why do we sing? How we feel? But when you look at all He's done, it ought to make you feel a little bit better. I mean, I come in church sometimes and I'm feeling it.
Right.
But then there's days I come in, I ain't feeling it. But something happens in me when we say, all right, let's turn over to page, 317, and we get to that line number 2. The pleasures of sin no more I desire, no good in them now I see. Something starts turning. The pleasures of sin no more I desire, no good in them now I see. I mean, I'm about to sing it again. It feels so good. His love lights the way I travel each day. I'm shouting the victory. My sadness is past. My sadness is past. Something at last. I'm happy at last. His love lights the way for me. Something goes on inside me that says I got something to sing about. I mean, look here. The half hasn't been told. This world can't contain just how good He is, how unworthy I am. Oh, praise His dear name. All that I was, am, all that I'm something other. I mean, the half hasn't been told. Listen, that ought to do something. That's why I sing, because He's made a way. He's a man of war. He's God of mighty wonders. Not only is He God of mighty wonder of power and protection, but I'm about done. Right here's the best one to me. Look at verse 11 and 12. This right here sums her up, man. Who's like unto thee, O Lord? That's enough to sing on. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious and holiness, fearful and praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. You know why we ought to sing God's mighty wonder of His protection and His power? But what about this one? God's mighty wonder of His person. Who He is. Brother Larry Brown preached it pretty good years ago. Ain't nobody like Him. You know what's sad is most people know that to be true, but it somehow or another still don't move them.
Amen.
Ain't nothing drives me more crazy besides my sound man not being in the sound booth.
Right.
That drives me more crazy than anything. Or not paying attention.
Right.
But outside of that, sound drives me nuts. Outside of that, nothing aggravates me worse than being up there playing congregationals and looking out and y'all being like this.
Right, yeah.
I'm about to pass you y'all and take a few of y'all.
Right.
You won't even stand up.
Right. Right.
Are you so precious, so important that you can't even join the congregation? It's called congregational.
Stand. That's right. Together.
Stand up.
Amen.
If you're physically able, get off your tail.
Amen.
Stand up, get you a song book, and sing with your church.
Amen.
Drives me crazy. I try not to look, because I want to sing the Lord and focus on what I'm doing. But we'll be singing something,
My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my prayer and hope for you. I know my name. I mean, look here. People are supposed to be in here because you know him.
Yep.
And when sinners come in, they're looking at help y'all. There's 10 of us singing. I know my name is written there. And maybe somebody's shouting, the crying brother Daxon shouting, it's my love that. But he ought not be the only one shouting.
Amen.
Bless God, I'm talking about. I mean, I just say, that ought to be something in you, not just to sing, but to shout.
Amen.
I look out sometimes. I mean, some of y'all, I'm not just talking about lip singing. I'm talking about literally you look like this. You know what I think? Maybe not all cases, but a lot. You ain't got nothing to sing about.
Amen.
Don't know why you can't be participate in the congregation, you ain't part of the congregation.
Amen.
Well, man. Yeah, right. Haven't I told y'all I'm here to pastor y'all and I give you high fives and suckers?
Right.
You want church? It's up to you.
Right.
You ought to sing, people, because of who God is. Verse 11 said the best, who is like unto thee, O Lord? You know what really bugs me? I could buy those same ones sitting there like somebody stole their husband or wife or shut their dog. I could buy you tickets to go watch the newest and the brightest country music star. You'd be giddy.
Amen.
You'd be loud, proud. You would be a bit ashamed. There's only 100 in here on a good day. You get down there around 100,000.
Right.
And they couldn't shut you up if they put a pistol to your head.
Yeah.
But I'm just embarrassed. But you're not embarrassed out there.
Right.
You know what? I'm not bragging on sin, but in my four years of living in the world, I went to a few concerts. I never seen one shy person.
Right.
There was no strangers. Y'all won't fellowship with the brethren, but at them concerts, everybody's hugging everybody.
Yeah, they are.
And we wonder why in God's name the world don't want what we supposedly have.
Right. Amen.
They're high-fiving and hugging and kissing and sharing beers and popcorn. I mean, the best bunch of happiest people ever lived. And they come in church and I couldn't call a gun to your head to make you participate.
Amen. Oh my.
Where's your soul?
Amen.
You've got plenty of reason to sing.
Amen.
God's made a way for your sorry rotten tail and for my sorry rotten tail. And bless God, He ought to at least get my 2 feet planted and a songbook and sing with a smile on my face. And if He can't get one out of you, it's probably because you ain't never met Him and you don't know Him and He's never delivered you and He's never rescued you and He don't live inside you. I'm telling you, bless God, you ought to sing if you've been saved. You ought to shout if you've been saved.
Yes, natural too, preacher.
That's exactly
it. It comes natural. Amen.
I don't have to get up there and try.
It comes natural, preacher.
Why is there Mr. Neville walking around with blessed fire
it cane?
I think I ought to get up there and stop taking a spell. Why in God's name is that? They seem like using the most afflicted. Jonathan Hughes, the man, can't even wipe his own tail, and he'll shut the house down. Why? Because he's got a song in his heart. He can't shut it up. He can't hide it. He knows his Redeemer. I've been disrespectful of him. Tell him the truth. The man can't care for for himself. And he will shout the blue blaze victory down.
Amen.
He don't give a rip who likes it.
Right.
You're sorry, hind end. I'm sorry if I'm coming off mean, but this is just honest preaching. You're plumb sorry if you can walk in on your own two legs and not just stand up and sing and praise the Lord. I won't remind us we ever won on a dial of treacherous death and burned in hell, but God has made a way, and God's a man of war, and God has mighty wonders. I've got something to sing about this man. You know what they done? They were conditional singers. You get over to around verse 20. Get down through there. The next little hiccup in the road, they lose their song. And they start to murmur and to complain again.
Yeah.
That was a Baptist church.
Yes, sir.
What's wrong with us? I'm sorry, I thought I was going to be back down, but now I'm finally feeling a little preach.
Right.
Took me an hour, but I finally got there. I mean, what's God's name wrong with us, friend? I mean, have you, hey, bless God, I'm about to start calling names. Have you forgot where you come, friend? I mean, have you forgot when you sat at home in the beer, John, and you forgot when you was hooked on drugs? Have you forgot where God brought you, friend? How did you get so important that you don't have to sing and praise Him no more? You forgot we was all headed to hell, the same hell. We were all going to the same hell. And the name Jesus don't even make you smile.
Right.
Hey, listen to me. There's something about that name.
Yeah.
I didn't see a thing when I took it. There's something about that name. Jesus.
There's something about it.
Amen.
Jesus.
Yep.
There's just something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's something that goes along like it's more precious than something. The rain. I mean, listen, why does church not even make you smile? I'm finally preaching. Sorry, you had an hour of introduction.
I guess. Salvation.
Why?
Yep.
Why? I'm begging on somebody. You don't have to live miserable claiming Jesus.
Yeah.
You go from claiming Him to knowing Him.
Yeah.
And if there's not something down on the inside that's giving you a new song, you don't know Him.
Yeah.
But you can.
That's where it's at.
You can know Him. You can know Him.
Yep.
I mean, isn't he the best thing?
Yeah.
Well, I got anybody, Brother Chris? I mean, ain't he just good?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen.
Woo! I mean, do I got any men, just regular old men, not preacher men, just any regular old men that God has called you to preach, but, and I ask y'all, is he good or what?
Yeah.
He's good, friend, he's good. He's great at being good. He's God. And God's good at being God.
Yeah.
He ought to get at least a smile.
Here, friend. Hey, man.
In the morning, when I rise, this ought to be your life.
It is. That's it.
In the morning.
It's my life.
When I rise.
Hey, man.
In the morning. When I rise,
the first one I talk to.
Give me Jesus.
Amen.
Give me Jesus.
Yep.
Give me Jesus.
You can have
all this world.
You can have it.
Yep. Give me Jesus.
Amen.
In the morning, I can't help but I got a song. When I rise in the morning, I can't go to bed with that dog and doing. I can't wake up
without
dog and doing. I can't see a bird hardly fly over my head and sing a song. I can't watch my children run and play without talking to him. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a place that I spend all day in all the time, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, but I talk to God all day long. God knows my heart. That's 100% fact. That's called having a life of prayer.